Invite you to take your Bibles, please, at this time and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll begin our reading with verse 3, reading through verse 6. I continue another message, and as God leads, maybe one other, on the Savior-sensitive church. The Savior-sensitive church. I believe that as the pastor of this church, I have a very awesome responsibility to point out what's taking place and to, in some cases, give warning, to give instruction, to make people aware of what really is going on in Christendom and in our society. I believe I answer to God for that, and therefore it is important that I instruct the people of God in this local assembly about these matters. And so that is the only motivation behind them as God directs and leads. Today we want to look at two different churches in contrast, how God contrasts these churches, a biblical ministry as contrasted with a man-centered ministry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, follow as we begin reading with verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Now Paul was basically saying, I've come to you, and I've preached the truth to you, and I've given you the truth as God gave it to me. And I answer to God, and God knows my heart. And he wanted to let them know that what he had presented to them was without guile, and it was something that he had presented that was truthful to them without covetousness or any other motivation other than doing what God wanted him to do. Now, I mentioned to you last week that we are an independent, fundamental Baptist church, a Bible-believing church that believes in separation. We believe in separation from the world, and we believe there is also ecclesiastical separation. Now, to some of you, that may not mean anything. To many of you, it will, because you fought the battles, and you know whereof I speak. But some say in these days, if you remain a Bible-preaching, old-fashioned, as some people referred to it, fundamentalist-type presentation of the gospel, you will not succeed, souls will not be saved, the church will not grow, and you're bound to fail. I totally disagree with that. They will say you cannot build a church like this. This type of preaching is old-fashioned, and it will not work. There are a lot of good old-fashioned things in the world that still work. 2 + 2 = 4. It's still good to tell the truth and not lie. Amen? That's sort of old-fashioned, but it's still good. And they will tell you that churches that do not use the world's music, rap, rock, you name it, and all of the other, are not going to grow. They're not going to get the job done. They're out of step, they're out of tune, they're out of place with what's really going on. And they think that just because there's some age, and Tuesday's my birthday, today we're celebrating it, because you hit 65, that they think you're old-fashioned and you don't know what you're talking about, and you just want to remain old-fashioned. Friend, let me tell you, I'm where I am doing what I do because of conviction, not because of my age. It's because of conviction. Now, there are those who say if you preach hard or straight, as we call it, or if you preach the Bible See, if you preach the Bible, you're going to preach straight, right? I mean, you can't avoid it. If you preach the Bible, you're going to preach what some people call hard. I mean, you're going to call a homosexual a homosexual. You're going to call a lesbian a lesbian. And you're going to say that there are certain things that are not right, and you know, because that's what the Bible says. Now, you're going to let the world know you love them and you want them to be saved, but you're going to preach the word as it is. And it's going to be straightforward. But they say you cannot do that. May I remind you that there were seven church ages that were mentioned in the book of Revelation. And one of those that we are living in today, I believe the last church that was mentioned, I think depicts the Laodicean age that we're living in today, where the church, and we're talking about the whole umbrella as such, becomes very weak. And the word Laodicean means the people have their way. The people have their rights, and they request their way. And so the Laodicean church is the people's rights church. I believe the Laodicean church was the first seeker-sensitive church on record in the Bible. It was the people who wanted their way. And in our churches today, many of us are like a frog in the kettle. We are allowing ourselves to slowly and surely be brought to death in a boil because of our not understanding what's going on or taking a stand for what the Bible teaches is right. And so we have contrasting churches. We have the seeker-sensitive church, and then we have the church at Thessalonica, or one that I would call the Savior-sensitive church that we compare in the Word of God. Now, when we look at this church, we see, first of all, that it was a church that had pure motives, a church with pure motives. It was not a deceitful church. I personally believe that the seeker-sensitive church in many ways is very, very deceitful in many things. I'll mention a couple of those as we go along. But they will say to the general population abroad, just come on into the church any way you want to. You can come to the church the way you are, and then there's no repentance required. There's no preaching against sin mentioned. You can be very comfortable knowing that. And then when you can leave just like you came. You don't have to repent. You don't have to get under conviction. You don't have to think about all of the things that you need to change and maybe do right in your life. But the seeker-sensitive presents that. Come as you are, stay as you are, play the world's music, and tell the world's jokes, and continue to live just like other people that are unsaved people. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world. Amen? What does that mean? It means what it says. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't take up their ways. But be ye transformed, changed, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that it, what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, any person, any woman, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You don't leave like you came in if you get saved and you repent and turn to the Lord. In our text, he talks about being deceitful, and he talks about uncleanness. And he says we are not morally unclean nor morally deceitful in our presentation. I can tell you that there's something, and some of you are not familiar with this term, but you need to be familiar with it. It's called neo or new evangelicalism. We are not evangelicals, by the way. We are fundamentalists. I'm a fundamental Baptist preacher, and this is a fundamental Baptist church. We are not evangelical. We believe in evangelism. We certainly believe in winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a man by the name of Harold Ockinga. And Harold Ockinger, a number of years ago, wanted to bring the modernist, that is, the deniers of the faith and the deniers of the Word of God, the deniers of truth, together with the fundamentalist. And he said, I want to bring the fundamental Bible believers together and get the modernist with you and those who are believers of the truth. Now, how are we going to do that? How are we going to get together? Well, you want to bring everybody together. There was only one way, and he said, we've got to get rid of our Bible doctrines and the strong truths that we hold that are right there in the Word of God. And that was his premise of trying to get everybody together. And I'm telling you, this was a movement of guile, and it was a movement of deceitfulness, and the underlying purpose was to draw a big crowd. Everybody thinks that the proof that God is with you is a big crowd. If that's the proof, my friend, then the Pope of Rome is right, because he draws the biggest crowd. And I don't think he's right, according to the Word of God, that the doctrine that is promoted from there, I don't believe is right. I don't believe it's according to the Word of God. And so what we have today is something that is not man-centered. That's what he was talking about. Compromise, lay down your doctrine, get together, all be one, the ecumenical church, all of those things. But God says that our message is not necessarily to be man-pleasing or even man-centered in what we're preaching. Now, they're having seminars around the country today that are called church seminars, and in those seminars, they are telling you what you need to do is please man. Here's how you please the populace. Here's how you please people out there in the public, to please man. And they say, go out into your community, do a survey, find out what the people in your community want. Come back, meet with the staff, sit down, and tell them that we've surveyed the community and this is what they want. They want a liberal church. They don't want a preacher that's going to preach that social drinking is wrong. They don't want anybody that's going to say what sin really is and name it black and white. They want somebody who will get up and maybe just give them that real good feeling and say that everything is positive and everything is all right, and mix it all in with syrup and honey and just not tell the truth. And so that's what we're going to do. Suppose I got up here next week and said, now folks, I surveyed our area, and I'm going to tell you, we can no longer preach from this Bible, and I'm never going to talk about hell anymore, and I'm not going to bring that up. Somebody was telling me yesterday, I believe it was, I forget the whole circumstances, they were talking to somebody that went to one of these churches. And it had to do with another pastor that was a pastor of another Baptist church, not necessarily an independent Baptist church, this one. But he had enough sense to know, as he talked to the people, and he said, well, I bet you that your preacher never really preaches against anything, does he? And she said, oh, no, he wouldn't do that. And I bet you he never says anything about hell. Well, no, I wouldn't want him to say anything about hell. And I bet he never says anything about the fact that you ought to live a certain way and everything. Well, no. Well, why do you go there? Well, I just feel great when I come in, and I just feel good when I leave. I just feel good all over. He never does anything to upset anybody. He just makes us feel good. Well, that's not the way Jesus preached. And that's not the way a Bible preacher can preach. It's not that you want people to feel bad. It isn't that you want to be negative or mean. It's just that you got to preach the truth. And people need to hear the truth from the Word of God. I'll tell you what we need to survey instead of our community. We need to go back and survey the book of Acts. That was the first church and the best church and the right kind of church and the Bible kind of church. And if you want to pattern your church, you young preacher boys, go to the book of Acts and pattern your church after the book of Acts. You say, preacher, why are you preaching on this kind of subject? Well, so many of our kids, when they leave mom and papa's house, they're going to these kind of churches. and they get off to college, and you young people who are getting ready to go to college, you're going to be exposed to this, and I want to give you something that might help you be immunized to what you're going to face. And you know why I'm doing it? Because I love you. Because I want you to know the truth. If I didn't, it'd be a lot easier for me to get up here and preach something else, and I'd be a whole lot popular, and you wouldn't be looking so mad at me right now. But I have to preach the truth. Muhammad Ali got on a 747 airplane, and the stewardess came by and said, "Buckle up." And he said, "Superman don't need no buckle." And the stewardess said, "Superman don't need a 747 either. Buckle up." Amen. And people say, "Preacher, I don't need to hear what you've got to say." But I'm telling you, whether you want to hear it or not, you need to buckle up. Amen. You may not think you need a 747, but you do need a 747. People tell God's men what they want and expect them to give what they want. And it is a challenge for them to follow God. Galatians 1:10. "For do I now," Paul said, "do I now persuade men or God?" Am I trying to please you or God? "Do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul said, "I've got to please Jesus. I've got to be the servant of Christ and tell the truth." Now, Paul's target audience was God. You see, a real preacher of the Word of God is not going to stand here and preach and worry about everybody that's looking at him and what they're going to think or say about him. He has one main audience, and that's him up there, God. And I'm preaching for him, and I answer to him, and I am going to answer to him at the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're all preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so my target audience is the same as Paul. It is God Almighty, not pleasing men, but pleasing God. We don't adapt Christ to men, but we adapt men to Christ. We don't lower our standard and dumb down the Bible and doctrine and theology. That's one of the things they've done in our educational system now, and that's why we're lagging in international competition, because for some reason they've had to dumb down some of those things. And when we do, we lose some of the ability and some of the power. We cannot afford to do that. One of the problems that they have in the seeker-sensitive church is that of redefining grace. And they teach that grace produces less holiness. That grace, because you're saved by grace, it produces less holiness. Listen to Titus 2:11-12. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." All right, thank you, God, for your grace. But there's more to that verse. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world." That does not reflect less of God. That reflects more of holiness and more of God. Galatians 5:13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." Thank God we're called to liberty. But watch what he says. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." There are liberal pastors today in these churches that teach there are no restraints and you don't have to live a separated life, and there's no sense in necessarily growing under grace. I think the Bible says grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in the Lord. He doesn't say serve less or grow less, but serve more and grow more as we live for Almighty God. Under grace, they might take this line of thinking: well, it's all right for me to watch R-rated movies or any kind of movie. You can go ahead and watch that. After all, hey, we live under grace. We're saved by grace. And if you want to watch that, I'm not going to bug you about that. I'm not going to tell you it's wrong. I'm not ever going to preach on the fact that R-rated and X-rated movies are bad. That's just your thing. You go ahead and do that. And then if you want to drink with your buddies, that's all right. Suppose I meant that right now. Suppose I were telling you, hey, I've changed my mind. It's all right. You guys going out there and drink with your buddies. It's all right. After all, it's all grace. You're living under grace. Just do most anything you want to. Don't get hung up on the little stuff like getting drunk or drinking or drugs or committing adultery or fornication and all of those things. Don't let that bug you and don't let that bother you. You say, you sound like a lot of these churches stamp their approval on it. They do in two ways. Some do not ever preach on what the Bible says or teach the truth about the Bible. That is a remission that God will hold us accountable for. And then there are those, and I know what I'm talking about, that say it is okay. It's not that they just avoid the subject. They say it is okay. Come as you are, live the way you want to, go back home, dress any way you want to. It doesn't matter. I'm one of the old Bible believers that believe women ought to be modest. You say, well, that's old-fashioned. Well, it says it in the book. It says it in this book. You got a Bible in your hand? You got a Bible, I hope? It says it in the book. And modesty is something that the Bible teaches. Not live however you want and dress however you want. And what we need to do is preach true grace. And I can tell you that true grace leads to living a godly and righteous life in this present world. We don't need market-driven preaching in churches. We need godly, spirit-led Bible preaching churches. That's what we really need. We don't need the market-driven church. Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. That's why I believe I have the responsibility to tell you this today, not because I'm going to be popular, but because I love you. People walk out and say, that took a lot of courage. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I don't worry about that. I'm not concerned with that. I'm just saying that we have to preach the truth. Listen, I've seen churches bite the dust all over the United States of America, split and splatter and die because of this philosophy. And yet some folks just don't realize the difference. Spurgeon had a magazine, the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And in the magazine called The Sword and Trowel, there was an article written in it. It was an anonymous article, but basically pointed out the tendency to drift from sound doctrine. And this writer likened it to a downhill slope, just slowly going downhill on the mountain, a downhill slope. And that got to be called the downgrade controversy. And it was a very major controversy in that day, just like it is today. And modernism in that area, modernism killed 90% of the mainline denominational churches within one generation of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's death. 90% of those churches were closed. Spurgeon, once a leader respected in the Baptist Union, was actually kicked out or actually withdrew from the Baptist Union. You see, the spirit of this age, his age, led to the death of many, many, many churches in England within a century. And I'm telling you, the spirit of our age, the compromising spirit of our age, 100 years from now, you won't hardly recognize a church as a church that we know a church of today if we're not careful. Now, very quickly, the personalized ministry. In 1 Thessalonians 2:7, Paul says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. And you remember what he said? We're not misrepresenting it. We're preaching the truth to you. But secondly, he says, we are gentle among you. You can be a fundamentalist and a Bible believer and not be mean as the devil. You can be a fundamentalist and a Bible believer and love other people and care about other people. But because you love them and care about them does not mean you're going to withhold the truth from them. It means you will give them the truth. And Paul gave them the truth, but he did it with love and affection. I will tell you that God is against homosexuality. But I'll turn right around and tell you that we love people who are homosexuals, and we believe God loves them, and God will save them just like anybody else. And they can come to Christ, and we want them to come to Christ. But their life will change if they really know the Lord. You can remember that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We can be fundamental and straight, and I think we must be and we ought to be, but we must be a loving people and approach people where they are and show them the love of Christ. But we do not have to water down and dumb down the truth and compromise in order to do that. Now, they also had a powerful message, a personalized ministry and a powerful message. And it was a message about the preserved Word of God. In verse 13 of our text chapter, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." He said, we have a powerful message, and that is the preserved Word of God, and that's what needs to be preached. And they preach the Word. Preach the Word, the Bible says. Don't preach your philosophy or some other guy's philosophy or the power of positive thinking or whatever it is. Preach the Word. Preach the Word of God. Romans 1:16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Well, Paul, why aren't you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." It's the power of the preached word, the gospel. And we have substituted in many churches entertainment for the preached word. The preacher might get up and make a little, say a poem or two, and get up and preach a little sermonette to some sissyettes, and then stand up, sit on a stool, or not even preach the Word of God, and then walk out, and they know no more than they did when they came in. We're to preach the Word of God. You see, the gospel alone draws people to Christ. Amen. That's what will draw people to Christ. The gospel alone brings spiritual results. And so we have... By the way, if you think they don't criticize us, you're wrong. Some of the leaders of the seeker-sensitive church, and there are other terms that are used for it, but they look at a church like ours, and they refer to churches like ours as if we're old-fashioned and dumb. For instance, one ad in a paper, some of you would remember Billy Sunday, and they always showed Billy Sunday preaching. Boy, he was preaching like this. What? That was just his style whenever he preached. And so they showed a picture of Billy Sunday preaching like that in the ad in the newspaper. And they said, as they talked about it and as they referred to it, that these are basically modern-day Pharisees, and they refer to us as being more concerned about purity than about people. And they talked about those who would do that and preach like that as people that are pseudo-Christians and people that really don't have the truth and really don't know the truth, that they have substituted love, and they have substituted truth and meanness rather for love. And that's just not the case. That's not the way it really is. We are made fun of and poked fun at because we preach the Word of God. And I'm sorry, they might say something like this: "Why don't you come, if you're tired of this, why don't you come to a church like ours? If you're tired of Bible preaching." And I guess some people do that because they want a diluted truth. We don't need psycho-babble and diluted truth. We need the Word of God. And the Word of God needs to be taught and preached. And when you dilute it, it doesn't show any love. Now, I meet people who go to seeker-sensitive churches, and they're in a seeker-sensitive environment, and they say, "We feel accepted." But sometimes you ask them, "Are you saved?" And they have no idea what you're talking about. They don't even understand the term. And I'm telling you the truth. A lot of them do not know. And you talk to them, and they've never heard even how to be saved in some of these churches. All they've heard is some kind of pop psychology and that type thing. And they'll make statements like this: I like it because they don't pressure me to make a decision. Well, let me tell you something. Love confronts people with the gospel. True love will confront people with the gospel. And that's something that is needed today. We need it. And obviously, it isn't the easiest thing to do, but we need to do it. We confront them with the gospel. Someone brought me an ad a while back. Actually, I can't even say what the ad said because it's sort of filthy. But the whole ad was a church. In fact, I know some people here today that used to go to that church years ago. And it has changed so much that they actually use some very worldly, guttural language in saying, basically, come to our church. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to tell you how to live. Just come on to our church. And they've long ago forsaken the true stand to the Word of God. You see, people don't like preaching anymore. The entertainment has hijacked the pulpits. And we want revival today, but we want revival without praying, without preaching, without consecration, without separation. Starving men do not need road shows. Starving men need to come to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ and be fed from the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't need to hide the truth from them. We need to preach or witness, and that will offend. The Apostle Paul offended people when he preached. In fact, everywhere he went, they threw him in jail because he was doing what? Preaching the gospel. Simply preaching the gospel. And he faced the consequences all the time. Now, back quickly to that Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. When you read it there, you find Jesus, and all of us have seen the famous painting where Jesus is on the outside knocking. And you can use that for evangelism, but the picture is a picture of a church building. And it is Jesus knocking on the door of the church, just as the Bible teaches it in the book of Revelation, because they had forsaken Christ, and he's knocking on the door wanting back in the church. Amen. He's saying, let me back in. It's not necessarily a picture of salvation, but of that. In the book of Revelation, you find that those people said, oh, we're rich. We are good. We don't need all of this. We don't even need him. Evidently, they had left him out because he was on the outside knocking on the door trying to get inside. By the way, there's no latch on the outside of that door either. It's on the inside. And so they didn't realize that from God's perspective, as God looked down on them, he was saying, you think you're rich. You think you've arrived. You think that you're really somebody. And all of that. But as I look at you, I can describe you the way I look at you. You're poor and blind. Poor in spirit and blind to the truth of the things of God. They were no longer sensitive to him. What were they sensitive to? The people. It was the people's church. The Laodicean church. And so they didn't realize what God was seeing. Now, I believe that we need to be sensitive to the Savior. Amen. If we're going to be sensitive to him and stand for truth. Now let me tell you something, dear friend. Here's the truth. I want to tell you the truth. You may not be comfortable with this. And I hope you're not. In fact, I hope you get very uncomfortable with it. The truth is that you're a sinner. How many of you believe that everybody here is a sinner? Say amen. The truth is, you're a sinner. And the truth is, if you don't get saved, I'll tell you this in love. If you don't get saved, listen to me. It's in the book right here, this book. If you don't get saved, dear friend, you will die and go to hell. Some preachers will not say that. They will not say it. I'm going to say it. And I don't say it to be a smart aleck. I'm telling you, young people, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, here in this congregation, if you don't get saved the Bible way, you're going to die and go to hell. That's the truth. That's the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. We love you and we care about you. And we love people. We're going to tell them the truth. And the truth is, you come by way of the cross. Amen. Jesus said, I am the door. Not one of the doors. Not one of many doors. Not one of many religions. Not one of many ways. He said, I'm it. That's it. I'm the door. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And it doesn't matter how religiously sincere you are about anything else you do to try to get in heaven, you must come by way of the cross of Jesus Christ, or you'll never get there. Why do I tell you that? Because I love you. Because I don't want you to go to hell. Because it's the truth. Because it's the Word of God. You need to know the truth. And I'm going to tell Christians who claim to be saved and they're living not for the Lord, and really not living for God, listen, here's the truth. Here's what the Bible says. If you get out of God's will, God's going to spank you and whip you. Amen? That's the truth. It's in the Word of God. And if you don't serve the Lord and give Him your best, you're going to regret it when you stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And there are many others, but this is the Word of God, and we just need to stand for the truth. And I hope if you don't know Christ, you'll get saved today. What is our church supposed to do? We're supposed to preach the Word. Proclaim the Word of God. And we need a sensitivity, that's for sure. But we need a new sensitivity to Him. Not to the way of the world, but to Him, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that'll bring true repentance in the hearts of individuals in the church and in our nation. And I can tell you, that's the only thing that's going to work. That's the truth, folks. It's recorded in God's book. We are a Savior-sensitive church. We are not a seeker-sensitive. We're never going to be. And I thank God that people who are looking for a church like ours, you know, most of the people who have recently visited or come in our church have found it on the internet. They look and they say, you know, that's the kind of church I'm looking for. And I want to come to that kind of church. It's not for everybody. And we're not the only ones that God is using. There are many other churches like ours and others around, but I can tell you that we are just what we are, but we're not there because we're just old-fashioned or by accident or because we don't know any better. We're there because of conviction based on this book. And by God's grace, that's where we're going to stay. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. Dear friend, I've told you the truth this morning. Listen, God loves you. We in this church love you. We want to see you get saved. Would you come to Christ today? You're lost. You're a sinner. You must be born again. And you must come to Christ and be willing to turn from your other life to Him, called repentance. Simultaneously turn to Him and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I hope you'll do that today. And if you're looking for a good Bible-believing, soul-winning, missions-minded church, and you know what we are and what we stand for, may God help you to come and join us today, because we believe this is what God would have us to do. And I hope you'll come. If you're a Christian and you're not in God's will, and you need help and you need prayer, we have an old-fashioned, called old-fashioned, we have an altar where you can come and make things right and pray at will. Just come and pray, and it'll be open for you. And thank God it's always open in every service for you to come. Father, bless and have your will now. And I pray that you would enlighten people with the truth of the Word of God. Enlighten our mothers and daddies and our young adults. And show them the truth, the Word of God. And I pray, God, that we will stay true to the Word and stay true to what you teach. And may you be glorified in it. Help that person that needs to be saved this morning to come and trust Christ. And help those that are your children with their burdens, that they may bring them to you today, whatever the need is. We'll thank you for it, and thank you for any victories we have today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.